Good morning.
It's good to be back among you and in the land of the living. And I'm reminded of a professor of mine in seminary, Dr. Ross McKenzie. No relation. There's not that much intelligence on my side of the clan. But Ross was Scottish, and I'm going to tell a tale, and I'll have to speak as Ross would speak. And so he talks about the pastor of the local congregation was taken ill one morning, and he called to the clerk of session and said, "Aye, Mr. Clerk, ye will have to preach today." The clerk was filled with fear, but he did his job. And the next afternoon, the clerk came by the pastor's house and he said, "Aye, Pastor, I got good news and I got bad news." He said, "Oh, Mr. Clerk, what is the good news?" He said, "The session has voted to pray for your recovery." He said, "What's the bad news?" He said, "The vote was 6-5. Thank you for those of you who prayed for my recovery. And I hope not to traumatize you overly today. Announcements. First of all, we have a wonderful announcement. We have the birth of Ann Mead Brown, who is the granddaughter of Pam and Jack Partain, who was born this weekend. And so please extend all good congratulations to them. I'm guessing I said it right. You're not giving me a whole lot of feedback here today, okay. And we are going to have our second Sunday fellowship lunch following church today, so all are welcome. It'll be up in Hollis Hall. And then Roger Rollins has an announcement to make. Thank you, Roger. We also have our Christmas Eve candlelight service coming up on the 24th. That's a Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and the choir is working very diligently on that. And I know they will appreciate your participation, and I will appreciate your participation. And I am keeping a list. Let's see, our adult and children's Sunday school class is continuing apace. Sally led a wonderful study this morning on the children Go Where I Send Thee, one of the African-American spirituals, and it's a good time had by all, and if you're not careful, you might actually learn something, so come and be a part of it. And finally, we have the Connection Team meeting today at 12:30, that will be after lunch. Yes, Sue. Special music at 5:20. Oh, okay. The service begins at 5:30 and the special music at 5:20. A very special, it helps if you read the whole thing. begins at 5:20, and carols and other pieces, old and new, including a dazzling excerpt from G.F. Handel's Messiah featuring Amanda Carg, soprano, and rarely heard setting of the Ave Maria text by the late Renaissance Italian composer, somebody. Sung by Adam Stark. My Italian is very, very rusty. I am so sorry, Adam, but I know you will do us proud. And this year we're going to be joined in the balcony by a grass quintet led by Smitty Barnett. So come prepared to be wowed and to enjoy the wonders of Christmas Eve together. Are there any other announcements? Did I leave any? Yes, Peggy. Wednesday morning, 9:30 for an hour and a half. And where is the bell located?
Food City.
Food City. Okay. I should know that. Okay. Very well. Yes, Roger. Encore. All right. Ye Sabbath breaker ye. Is it appropriate to give Mike a round of applause? I don't know. Different churches have different living traditions, and one of the jobs of the interim pastor is to discern what those living traditions are and then be judicious about breaking all of them. Let us come and worship the Lord together. Oh, I'm still learning. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us exchange the peace of Christ.
Please stand for the lighting of the Advent candle. We light the joy candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. As the Lord has promised, in days to come, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom.
Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly, and rejoice with joy and singing.
Let us pray. God of our hopes, like John, we often languish in prisons of circumstance, expectation, and expediency. We live as those who have no hope other than that of the moment. Come, we pray, in this hour, and shine the brilliance of your Advent hope in the depths of our hearts. Light our paths in this holy season, that we may journey on towards the star which you have established in the horizon of our dreams. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. And together we pray. We are too easily satisfied, O Lord. We like easy answers to complex questions. We want the fruits of discipleship without the cost of discipline. Eagerly displaying the trappings of the faithful, we confess a lingering doubt as to the sufficiency of our words and the depths of our commitment. We are quietly fearful that we may not be enough. But you, O Lord, have come to set our lives aright and to give the lift of your Spirit to the wings of our souls. Renew and redeem us, we pray, that we may find our true path in you and our eternal home in your kingdom when at last we gain our rest. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Please be seated. Now we'll have our time with the children. I'll ask all the young ones to come join me down front. Okay. This week than we had the last time. All right. And we have a tradition that I started back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. I say good morning, and then you say good morning back to me as loud as you can. Good morning!
Good morning!
Oh, that's very good. Okay. That makes me glad I forgot to put in my hearing aids this morning. Well, are you about ready for Christmas? Yeah? Yeah? Are you excited about Christmas? What? Let me see. Let me see if I can remember. Christmas is when the Thanksgiving turkey comes down the chimney?
No.
No?
Santa.
Who?
Santa.
Santa. Now, let me see. Santa, he has floppy ears.
No.
And no? What does he have? What does Santa look like?
He has a beard and a mustache.
He has a beard and, oh, I must be Santa.
No.
No. He brings presents to kids, and that is good. He has a, no, I don't have a long beard. I have to keep it kind of, I have a short beard. That's right. That's right. He used to have one, but he shaved it. Yeah, beards kind of come and go. I think I've had this one about 25 or 30 years now, and Miss Vicky says she likes it. I'm not too sure. But anyway, anything in the interest of marital harmony. So, one time, many years ago, I was... You want to hear about Santa? Yeah? I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. I was on an airplane, and I was flying back home from a long trip, and I was tired. And I was sitting all by myself. There were three seats, and I had the middle seat, and it looked like I was going to be sitting by myself, which I was really kind of glad of because I was tired. I wanted to sleep on the way home. And so I'm sitting there, and about the time they close the cabin door, here comes an older lady, and she's got a dog. I think it was a granddaughter with her. Okay, and they come and they sit in the seats next to me. And the granddaughter, well, she seemed like, you know, she was just kind of confused about things. And I came to find out that she was a very special little girl. She had her name on a piece of paper, and this was her grandmother she was traveling with. Her name was Marthina. Marthina. And so I tried to be as sweet and as nice and wonderful as I could. And I said, "Hello, Marthina. My name is Ken, and I'm so glad you're going to be flying with me today." And so she looked at me, and she didn't say anything. And her grandmama said, "Marthina, say hello to Mr. Ken." And she looked at me, and she said, "You're not Ken." And I said, "I'm not." She said, "No, you're not Ken." I said, "Well, who am I?" She said, "You're Santa Claus." I said, "Marthina, I love Santa Claus. He's one of my favorite people in all the world. But what makes you think that I am Santa Claus?" "What, Haynes?"
"Because
Well, let me tell you what she said. She said, well, you are white, you have a beard, and you're fat. Yep. So for the rest of that trip, I was Santa Claus. And you know what? I had the best time with Marthina, talking to her about what she wanted for Christmas and what she was going to do for Christmas and what she was going to see. And so for about an hour and a half, I got to be Santa Claus to Marthina. Now, what that leads me to share with you today is I want you to see who you can be Santa Claus for this Christmas. No, you're not Santa Claus, but I want you to pretend that you might be by being nice to people and giving them gifts.
I don't want to be Ken.
You don't want to pretend. Okay, I think Hayes and I, we've kind of figured it out here. Okay, I want you to be nice and wonderful, and even if you're not Santa Claus, just think that how wonderful the world would be if we had a world full of Santa Clauses who were loving and kind and giving. And that's really what God calls us to be, loving and kind and giving for everybody around us. No, there can't be more than one Santa Claus. That's right. But I was able to pretend like I was Santa Claus. Okay, let's remember that and let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you for the joy of this season and for the miracles of love that come to us each and every day. And we ask that you would help us to be the helpers of your kingdom, the ones who show love and kindness and goodness. And in all that we do, may we give the gifts of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, I'll see you next Sunday.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Does that work? Completely out of control. Little ones to him.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within up every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. Listen for God's word. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly. And rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with a vengeance, with terrible recompenses. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened, and the lame shall leap like a deer. And the tongue of the speechless sing for joy, for water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, and the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 5. Listen for God's word. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Brothers and sisters, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. An example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, choir and children. That was marvelous. Thank you so, so very much. Oh, we come to our gospel lesson this morning, a very familiar passage taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew, reading from the 11th chapter, verses 2 through 11. And John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, as they're calling him these days. John the Baptizer, that's so no denomination has a leg up anymore, you understand. John the Baptizer is in jail, in Herod's jail, in kind of a cave-type cell there, dank, uncomfortable, and he's waiting for he doesn't know what, but he's waiting to hear what Jesus might have to say. And so, hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. When John heard in prison that what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. But what then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, you hear the dreams of our hearts and the longings of our souls, and you come to speak to us of things that are eternal. Forgive us when our minds are so fully set on the temporal. Broaden our perspectives and our vision, that we may see where you are at work in often the least expected places of your world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Sometimes I think we do the people in scriptures a great disservice when we look upon them with the eyes of 21st century faith. We look at John the Baptist and we see these beautiful depictions of him with this kind of serene, somewhat irritated look on his face, wearing that camel hair coat, that leather apron, eating bugs and wild honey, and we wonder, why does he have such a foul disposition? Well, I'm not big on bugs. And if you've ever had wild honey, let me tell you, it's no treat. I took a survival course once and we found wild honey, and you have to overcome an aversion to twigs and sticks and dead bees and all kinds of things in wild honey. But you know, if you're hungry enough, it's okay. I won't give you a rundown of everything else we had, because we do have lunch following this time together. But we tend to think of John as this rugged individualist with this rock-solid faith. And I have a sense that in our passage for today, John's rock-solid faith has been rather pulverized. He's in jail. He's in jail because he dared to question the morality of Herod and his family. And he's in the deepest, dankest, darkest place in Herod's jail, which is not known for its hospitality to begin with. And there he sits, and he's wondering, what is God doing with me? And he hears that Jesus is off there in the wilderness preaching and teaching. And so he sends his disciples with the not so veiled question, "Are you the one we're supposed to be looking for?" And there is a motive behind that question that you may not have considered. John is wondering if Jesus is going to spring him from the whoosgow. After all, that prophecy from Isaiah is echoed in Jesus' words. The blind see, the deaf hear, the ill are healed, the dead are raised. All of that echoes back to Isaiah's prophecy, except one part that Jesus leaves out. Do you know what part that is? The prisoners are set free. Jesus didn't say that. Not in this iteration. And the hidden word is, great things are happening, but they may not happen according to your expectation or your agenda. John is the greatest of all the prophets that have ever arisen, and yet even John has to put up with the fact that sometimes the gospel can be somewhat antithetical to our hopes and to our dreams. Sometimes the way we see the world doesn't work out the way we want it to. But that does not mean that God is not in control. And that further does not mean that good things aren't going to happen. Do you remember when you were children? Some of us never grew up like myself, but one of my memories of growing up, I had a brother and a sister, both of them younger, and they delighted when I got caught doing something wrong. And their taunt to me in those moments of indiscretion were, just you wait till daddy gets home. You gonna get it. Well, who of us didn't have that experience? You want to raise your hand and be called out for a liar now? Oh, we've all been there, waiting for judgment to fall. And sometimes it did. And sometimes grace won out. Christmas in my family was always a big time for grace to happen. The hairbrush and the belt were sometimes put aside for the season so that grace could abound. We had an uncle named Boozer. Yeah, that was his real name. Boozer was the wealthy one in the family. He had a suite of rooms in the old Biltmore Hotel down on Spring Street in Atlanta, if you remember where that was. Okay, I'm dating myself, I know. Uncle Boozer lived there with his gentleman's gentleman named James, who was always impeccably dressed and had a very somber British accent. And James took care of everything for Uncle Boozer. And they lived in this magnificent palatial area, completely cut off from the rest of the family, the poorer relations who lived off in Midtown somewhere. And so every Christmas, my mother would make these wonderful brownies and we would distribute them to the family all throughout Atlanta. And it was, they were wonderful brownies. They were the kind of brownies you could only eat one of because they were so rich. And if you ate two or more, you felt like you had swallowed a live walrus. But we would carry these ballistic brownies all throughout Atlanta. And one year, I had reached the point in my age where I was entrusted to take the brownies to to the front door and ring the doorbell and tell them, we wish you a Merry Christmas. And then we would always add that unique Southernism, y'all come see us sometime. And they would always say yes, never meaning that they would actually come. It's part of the Southern mystique. And so that year I was elected to take the brownies up to Uncle Boozer's apartment. And I think I was maybe 10 or 11 years old at the time, and it was a wonderful opportunity to show how grown up and how precise I was. And I went up on the elevator and I rang the doorbell, and Uncle Boozer himself came to the door. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting James, but no, Uncle Boozer was right there, and he said, young Kenneth, how are you? And I said, fine, mother made these brownies for you. We wish you a Merry Christmas and come see us sometime. He said, I will. How about next Tuesday? I thought nothing of it. I went down to the car and got in, and mother said, did you wish Boozer a happy Christmas? I said, I did. Did you tell him to come see us sometime? I did. He's coming next Tuesday. Now, I want you to think. Do you remember those old black and white World War II movies where the American submarine captain raises the periscope and looks around and sees that he is surrounded by the Imperial Japanese Navy? That was the look on Mother's face. You could almost hear the klaxons going off in her mind. Whoop, 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 dive, all dive. We went home pretty much in silence after that. We got to the house, and that's when the transformation began. Everything had to be scrubbed from top to bottom. Every nook and cranny had bleach applied to it. I had bleach applied to me. The dog was sent out to the neighbor's house because the dog was ugly. And we sat there in terror that Uncle Boozer was going to come and he was going to pass judgment on all of us because we had been found wanting in the world of Boozer. Oh, I think they would have thrown me out of the house too, because I was nothing to look at back then. Still not, but at least I didn't have to go with the dog. And so Tuesday night came. Uncle Boozer was coming at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. He was going to be there. Grandmother had on a fine new dress she'd bought just for the occasion. Daddy had on a smoking jacket, of all things, if you remember those. The house was absolutely immaculate. And precisely at 7 o'clock, the doorbell rang, and there was James and Uncle Boozer. And they smiled, and they came in, and they took a seat, not in the fine sofa that had been just fluffed for them. They sat down in the not-so-company chairs, and they had a marvelous time. And they brought presents for everybody. And when it came time to open the presents, Uncle Boozer got on the floor with the children. And he asked, where's the dog? And mother said, he's sick. He's at the vet. We had the best time. And I think he stayed for the better part of an hour and a half or 2 hours, just enjoying the family, enjoying being there, telling everybody how wonderful it was to come and be with members of the family. And you know, I don't think he even went to the bathroom to inspect for mildew. I don't think he did any of that. It was just wonderful. You know, We weren't expecting that. We were expecting Uncle Boozer to look down his aristocratic nose at us and point out the dust in the mirrors and the windows. And it didn't happen. Grace happened when we least expected it, because that's the way love is. So often we go into the Advent and Christmas seasons, and I hear preachers from time to time saying, kind of like my brother and sister, God's going to get you. Oh, you better be ready for judgment because it's coming. You had better straighten up your act, because God is coming with hellfire and damnation. And I want to say to people like that, pooh, just pooh. God has revealed himself over and over as a God of grace and a God of love, who comes to his children not as a judge with punishment, but as a father with love and with gifts. And I'm hoping as we move through this Advent season, we may do so with that same amount of grace and love which Jesus came and promised. John didn't get exactly what he was looking for. He didn't get out of prison. But I suspect that he heard those words of Jesus: blessed is he who takes no offense at what I'm saying. And the short translation, I think, of that is, blessed is he or she whose perception of the kingdom is broad enough where you don't always get what you want, but what you get will always be good and gracious and in God's love. No, John ended up with his head on a platter, and we don't know the story after that, but I have a suspicion that when John finally did make it through the pain, through the pearly gates, there was a welcome awaiting him of which he had never dreamed. And he saw his part in the kingdom, and he saw his role in providence, and that made it all so worthwhile. You know, Uncle Boozer passed away some years back. I was in seminary at the time, and so I wasn't judged to be righteous enough to officiate at his funeral. Mother was well on in years by then, but I will never forget, as we went and did the family pass around the casket one last time, Mother placed a small box in the casket with him. Years later, I asked her, what was that? It was a brownie. It was a brownie. One of those ballistic brownies, which, if you space it out just right, well, it can last you an eternity. Let us pray together. Almighty God, give us grace and joy. Remove from us the fear and the trepidation of the judgment which so often comes from others than you. Give us the knowledge that we are your children, well beloved and highly favored. Teach us, O Lord, to celebrate life in this Christmas season, for you bring us the greatest gift of all, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's turn to our hymn. It is 129, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. And together let us declare that which we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Let us pray. Eternal God, we grow weary of the rain and the clouds, and yet we know that your bright sunshine exists above the horizons of our vision. Help us to set our hearts on the beauty of the kingdom, even in the midst of the dreariness of the world. Help us to find our joy in you and in each other. And grant that all that we do may be in accordance with your most holy will. We lift, O Lord, the world in which we live, a world so marked by violence and warfare and greed and hatred. And yet we know these will not have the final voice. Rather, that will belong to you in that day when peace shall reign and tears shall be no more. Help us to live toward that day, O Lord, being each to the other a messenger of hope, a messenger of peace, a messenger of grace. And by our actions and by our outlooks, may we sow the seeds of hope. Be with us, O Lord, in this busy season. Help us to remember to slow down and to know that you are ever present. Help us to be silent and to listen for the singing of angels. Help us to open our eyes and see the far horizon of the brightness of your kingdom. And grant, O Lord, that all we do may be in that hope which you gave us in Jesus Christ. Be with those who this day of our fellowship are ill or despairing. Grant them your healing touch and your providential presence. And teach us, O Lord, to reach out to them as your agents of compassion. Especially, O Lord, we ask that you would be with the Partains in the birth of their new granddaughter, Ann Mead Brown. Give them the joy of this new life. These and all of our prayers, O Lord, we ask in the name and by the power of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. And we pray together the prayer which he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. fortune of that which you first entrusted to us. Bless these gifts by multiplying them, that your kingdom may be expanded and that our hearts and souls may be strengthened in the giving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A quick change. The closing hymn, number 105, is "People Look East, Not We Give Thee But Thine Own." 105. And now go forth from this place in peace and in joy and in hope and in grace to dare to be to those around you little agents of Santa Claus, whether you feel like it or not. And in so doing, spread God's love and the hope of the coming of the Christ child. In the name of God the Father, who came down, who created us, God the Son, who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit that is sufficient for us all. Amen.